Blog Talk Radio.
Oh dear.
Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready for this one?
UCR.
Go.
We're saying what we want, give it to you non-stop. Any place, any time, not afraid to speak our mind. That's just the way we roll, we never gonna go. Unstoppable, original, uncensored radio.
Well, hello there, Earth. This here is Uncensored Radio, and I am one of your hostesses this evening. Yes, I said hostesses. My name is Jeffrey, and alongside of me tonight, I've got the fabulous, wonderful donkey, Mike J. How you doing, Mike J?
The queen is in, mama. I am good.
I feel like it's been forever since we've been on air together. We also have in the house tonight the one, the only, the fabulous Lips Haggis. How you doing, Lips?
I am fabulous.
That is good. It's like the
and
three amigos take over tonight. It's boys' night.
I know.
How exciting.
Boys' night. So exciting.
She felt
like
taking
so
over.
It's kind of scary. Okay, so I have to tell you about my traumatic time over the last couple of days. It's really horrible. So everybody knows I've had a bee problem for a while. I've posted about it. I think I've talked about it on the show a few times. Well, it is not going away, and it's actually getting progressively worse. And it's a little frightening because it's now to the point where I do not use my own bathroom. I go to my mother's to shower because as fast as we kill them, more come in. I had Michael's favorite friend, Richie, come over, and he's been killing the bees for me twice a day, and it's not working because they just keep coming back. And it's to the point, like, we taped all around the windows to see if maybe they were coming in through the windows because above the bathroom, they're in the walls, and there's a lot of them. And they're getting up into the storage unit in the attic and all over the bathroom. It's really traumatic. Well, we taped the windows, and there's still a shit ton in there. So now I'm like, where are they coming from?
Tell me, those little fuckers will find the smallest crack to get into.
It's really traumatic. Well, and then here's the thing. So a while ago, Joe said, what if it's the heat vent? It's like, well, no, it's not the heat vent because they'd be all over the house, right?
Right.
Well, right. But then I'm noticing that not because before they were over by the windows. Well, now I've been noticing a few over by the heat vent on, you know, because the heat vent is kind of, we have like a weird little alcove. I'll take pictures. And it's kind of over there. Well, and then I thought about something in the basement. And one of the heat ducts, like, the bottom is, like, all crusty and rusty, kind of. And, like, I saw dripping coming out of there maybe a month or two ago. And I was like, it's summer and there's no heat on. What the hell is that about? So I got some balls and went down there and looked, and nothing was dripping. But I'm like, oh, my God, is the bees nesting in the heat vents? Because the one thing I have noticed is it's when I turn on the heat that the bees come out.
Well, because you're probably making
it's
a little too hot for them.
Well, right. I'm wondering if it's because there's heat in the bathroom that's making them, you know, come out because, you know, obviously when the heat's not on, it'll get down to, like, low 60, so they don't move much. But then all of a sudden, they're, like, everywhere. I'm not talking, like, one or two bees. We're getting up to, like, 10, 15 bees now.
Oh, yeah. You're infested.
You think? Yeah. Well, you could just see what's coming out. And then the one day when Joe was in the storage part in the attic, I mean, there was tons of bees flying. So now I'm, like, getting concerned. This bee guy's blown me off 2 days in a row, and I'm getting pissed. So he's supposed to come tomorrow, and if he doesn't come tomorrow, I'm going to beat his ass and call somebody else. But it's like, he's like, well, I got a pretty big bad job, and, like, you didn't call me back. Blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't want to fucking hear it, dude. Like, people aren't going to die from bats unless they get bit and they don't save it, okay? Like, I've had bats my whole life. Not that big of a deal. But bees in my bathroom, if you're taking a dump and you're sitting on the toilet and the bees start swarming, it's a fucking problem.
Oh, that's just an image I did not need to see.
Well, don't picture me. Picture Joe. It's not going to happen to me because I won't use the upstairs bathroom. Like, I had Rich go in and get my toothbrush and toothpaste out of the bathroom because I'm like, I'm not even walking in the room. I'm like, and everybody, I'm like, make sure the door stays closed. Somebody left it open this morning and I wanted to rip heads off. I'm like, make sure the door is closed, damn it.
Yeah, you got to get somebody in there. I mean, I know what you're going through because very, you know, back a couple decades ago, when I was younger, a couple decades ago, good Lord, you know, in my parents' old house before we moved, we got infested with bees. And, you know, they were everywhere. We did figure out where they were coming from. Like, my dad, you know, he's good around the house. He's a good handyman. And he made, like, this custom little cubbyhole thing, like, in the side of the house that went from the outside into the inside out next to the fireplace. It was a, you know, for a better way of putting it, was a wood hole. You put the wood in there, so the logs for the fire. So, you know, that way in the winter, he could just go out to the shed and get the wood and stick them in the hole and then close the little hatch rather than truck all through the house. Well, right before we were moving, the bees were getting in through there, or they were coming down through the chimney. I don't know if we ever really figured out where they were coming from, but, well, we just gave up and we moved. That wasn't the real reason, but, you know, it sounds good. They had to bomb the entire house after all of our stuff was moved out. I mean, they were everywhere. So I know what you're going through, and you are so lucky that they are limited to one room, and it's a room that you can close off. Like in our house,
it's
they
not
were
just
in
the bathroom, though, because they sneak out in the attic, too. But, yeah, it's not in, like, the main living areas or bedrooms. So I'm surviving. But it's starting to get to the point where, like, I was in the attic the other night, and I'm, like, laying down, and I kept feeling like I was getting stung. I'm like, oh, no, my mind is taken. And, of course, I looked at the Googled stuff, and I was reading, like, the nightmares of what could happen, especially if it's, like, honeybees, which is what the guy said. Like, they pretty much have to take the outside of the wall apart for the house. And this will be a fucking living nightmare. Because it's October, it's about to be November, and we're talking he's going to have to take out such a huge chunk of the siding, and then it's not just the siding, which is wood, it's like the upper, I don't even know what you'd call it, part of right before the roof.
The soffit.
So it's, but isn't it higher up? Like, this is like there's another big board. It's like molding around the house for this, you know, because it's so fancy-like. So it's going to be a huge undertaking, and the problem is they're like, well, if you just, you know, depending on the type of bee, if you just put the powder or whatever it is around the hole where they're going in, depending on the bee, it's not going to kill them. It may kill some of them, but then it's just going to drive them further into the house. And then I'm reading you can have like 40, 50,000 bees in the walls, and I'm like, well, if this has been festering, obviously, since the summer.
Well, you've been talking
started
about this for, like, you know, 3 weeks now.
Well, no, it started maybe the end of August. Like, I just catch a random bee in the bathroom, you know, because it was still warm out. But it was just, like, one bee. And then, you know, like a week later, whatever, I saw another bee. So it was nothing like, okay, that was out of the ordinary. Like, they're probably just coming in the window or something. You know, it didn't catch me until after it happened, like, the fourth or fifth time. I'm like, all right, what the fuck is going on? And then I went outside and looked, and, like, the bees coming in and out. I'm like, oh, my God. And now you can kind of see, like, the woods getting pushed out, and you can almost see, like, parts of, like, what looks like a bee's nest, like, just in between the cracks a little bit. And I'm like, oh, son of a bitch. Like, this is going to be a very bad experience. I'm like, who does this happen to?
You.
I'm not okay with it.
No, I mean, that's going to be such a huge mess. I mean, if they are, I mean, I've heard stories. I mean, I know what we went through in, you know, my parents' old house, and then, you know, luckily we didn't have to tear anything apart. I mean, we left and all of our stuff was out and they bombed the entire thing. That was kind of the end of that, as far as I know. I mean, I don't know what the people that moved in there went through. But, you know, with you guys, I mean, yeah, I mean, if they're in the walls and in between the inside of the wall and the siding, then Oh, man, your landlord's going to be paying through the nose.
I know. And it says, you know, like, especially if they're honeybees, like this one couple, they had over 40,000 bees living in their bedroom wall. They could hear the buzzing. And he had to come. He said they're actually taking the installation out and putting their honeycomb and hive in its place. So he removed the bees with a shop vac and put the honeycomb into boxes to relocate. He said you needed to remove the whole hive rather than just kill the bees to prevent this from happening again. As he put it, if you leave the hive, you left their pantry, you left their bedding, you left their sofa, and they just move right back in.
Pretty much. I mean, you're basically evicting one set of bees for another. But I don't know about the part where they're saying, you know, relocating them. I mean, just kill them and then burn their house down. I mean,
And what's funny, it also says, the funny thing is with hives is the ones that beekeepers have in their boxes seem to be dying across the country, all over 60% since last fall. Yet the ones in homes are doing fantastic.
Go figure.
And here's my thing. Like, I constantly hear about people crying, the bees are dying, the bees are about dying. Come find me, motherfuckers, because I'm telling you, that's where they all are. It doesn't matter where I go, where I live, whose house I'm at, I'm surrounded by fucking bees. And everybody tells me the same thing. And I really feel bad for the next person that tells me, don't bother them and they won't bother you because I'm going to punch them as hard as I humanly can in the face. I'm so sick of hearing that shit because I'm just sitting there minding my business and it gets all up in my face.
Well, I mean, you know, it's one thing if, you know, you're outside and you're in their territory or whatever, so to speak. But, I mean, come on, your only bathroom, they've taken over your only bathroom. You know,
well, I mean, we have two bathrooms.
So
they took over the only full bathroom.
And that's just rude.
Yeah, it's really, it's just, oh, I can't do it.
Well.
It really is. It's just driving me nuts. Like, I can't take it. And then, you know, like this, I don't know, all of a sudden, like the last 2 years, there's been stink bugs galore. I mean, they just flock to my front porch and they like slam into the wall. They get in the house. They're all over the front porch. I'm like, what the hell? I go up to my old house to visit my girlfriend who lives in our old house, and she's got them too. I'm like, what the hell is what? Go away.
I didn't invite you here.
And if you come to my house, I'm going to kill
the,
you.
You're going through the seven plagues. Next is going to be grasshoppers.
I really feel
and,
like it.
You know, the death of the firstborn.
The last house, we had squirrels in the attic. The fuckers would steal my Christmas wrapping paper and try to make nests with it. They'd shit all over my stuff. Then we move here, we get bats in the attic, no biggie, dealt with them my whole life, you know, I could deal with it. And now bees? Oh, and did I mention I opened my dishwasher and found a centipede?
I think you really need to move.
I'm telling you, I'm getting a little traumatized. That's not including the amount of spiders I find.
Well, I mean,
like the one day
house.
I walk in the bathroom and there's like five or six spiders. I'm like, what?
Listen, you know what you got to do? Get the stink bugs, get the centipede, get the spiders, get the squirrels, lock them all in that bathroom with the bees, and whoever wins, they get to keep the bathroom.
I'm not doing it fresh. They got to get out.
I mean, look, I'm telling you. Well, they're selling these little wireless digital HD cameras with little antennas on Groupon. We'll get a couple of those, set them up. They film in the night. We can have ourselves an Animal Planet reality show.
And people are like, don't kill the bees. Call somebody to move them.
Well, listen, I do have a tip for you. And I learned this from watching a movie, Attack of the Killer Bees. If you must be in the bathroom and they do start to swarm, your best bet is to fill up that tub, grab a straw, and sink under the water.
Well, it's kind of funny you mention that because my mom was just telling me, you know, because I've been losing my mind. So she was telling me the story about my uncle. And he was riding his motorcycle, and I guess he, like, hit a nest. It was on the ground or something, and he accidentally hit it like he wasn't trying to. I'm not sure what kind of bees they were. But I guess he was out, Mike, you'll notice, he was Dunning Ave. So it's kind of like country-ish road. Well, apparently he hit them, and she said you could just see the swarm of bees chasing him on the motorcycle to where he drove the motorcycle through somebody's front yard, into their backyard, jumped over their fence, and dove in the pool. And the people were out on their back deck and saw him coming, saw the swarm of bees, and ran in the house and locked the doors. Well, he dove in the pool and went into the water, and the bees dive-bombed the pool, and they were waiting on the water.
Oh, man.
Like, they were after him.
He pissed them off real good.
Right. I'm like, that's insane. And, I mean, you've heard stories about it happen, but she's telling me, and I could not.
Well, it's a collective mentality. I mean, they all, you know, they got the queen bee, and they tell the worker bees what to do with the hive mentality. So they say fight, they're going to fight.
Well, it's just nuts to really think of, like, a bee swarm going after people. And if you just Google, like, bees in the wall and look at the pictures of what they can build in your wall, it's kind of, you know, a little freaky.
Oh, yeah, they move right in.
Yeah, they really freaking do. And I'm like, my mom's telling me about she had the bees, and she had to call the beekeeper, and he came in the whole bee outfit. I'm like, that's embarrassing. So now I got to be the one on the block where the exterminator come in. He's got his bee helmet and everything and the netting. I'm like, that's just embarrassing.
Well, how do you think he's going to do his job if he's not protected? You don't want to have a dead man in
your
bathroom,
but
too,
I put it
you?
On Facebook. I needed a, what the hell is her name now? You know, from Fried Green Tomatoes, no, only one person knew who the hell I was talking about because she was a bee charmer.
Oh, my God. I thought you meant your dog, Izzy, and it just misspelled on the iPhone.
No. The girl from Fried Green Tomatoes. She's played like Mary Matherson Stewart or whatever her name was there, and Jessica Tandy with her, you know, older. And that's why I was like, oh, where the hell is she when you need her? And Shana's like, who the hell are you talking about? And Missy was like, Tawanda. Like, she got it. She knew I was talking about Friday. So, yeah.
You know, I was trying to figure that out for the life of me because I was wondering, like, you know, what's your little yappy dog going to do for you if you're getting attacked by bees?
Right. Well, I'll tell you, though.
You'll bark at him?
I don't know what happened to this kid. So, apparently, there was a kid in Georgia. He was found in school in a rolled-up wrestling mat. So apparently a shoe fell on the wrestling mat. He went to get it and fell in head first, and it was rolled up behind bleachers. So they're thinking, you know, he died from being upside down overnight, basically, in a mat.
I'm guessing. But I mean, the blood and the pressure.
Dun, dun, dun. So then they find, crap, where'd it go? I can't find it. But basically they found, like, a contusion or whatever. They found hemorrhaging on the right side of his neck. He concluded the teenager died from blunt force trauma near his carotid artery, and the fatal blow appeared to be non-accidental. But they kept saying this was an accident. The parents were like, no. So they resumed his body. Resumed? They, you know, dug up his body. Yes, thank you. They exhumed his body. And they went to do a second autopsy, and his organs were missing.
Did they not notice scars on his body when, you know, they I guess, did the stuff at the mortician or, you know?
Well, what they're saying is somebody, after he died, stole his organs, and they stuffed it with newspaper.
So, wait, hold on. I'm trying to follow this now. He gets chopped in the neck, gets killed. Someone then puts him upside down in a rolled-up carpet wrestling mat thing. They then bury him. Someone digs him up, steals his organs, and then reburies him?
No. I think they're trying to say, because it just kind of blew my mind, because at first, like, I thought, like, you know, they found him dead and his organs were missing. So I was like, oh, my God, it's like, you know, remember the Carver on Nip Tuck? I was like, holy shit, okay, I'm not going to Georgia again. But, no, I think, like, he died in the mat or whatever, and then they sent him to the thing, and they stuffed him a newspaper. And I know, I think the funeral home, they got the organs because the parents are outraged. They were like, how could you just stuff our son with newspaper? I'm like, that is pretty shitty.
That is,
yeah.
Well, they said normally, like, you know, if that happens to somebody's, like, an organ donor, they, like, put a powder in the body, and sometimes they'll use cotton or stuff, but they're like, people have never really newspapered. They're like, I don't know that there's a law against it, but it's not really common practice. And normally, I guess, you know, they throw your organs back in a Ziploc bag and throw them back in you. Who knew? But so, yeah, this kid's organs are missing, and they're just losing their mind. So I'm like, well, was this, did they kill him on purpose to steal the organs? Like, what's going on? And his poor family.
Well, that doesn't make any sense, though, because if his organs were in him when they found him, when he fell into the wrestling mat, you know, he was already dead. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's only a certain amount of time frame that you got for organs to be viable. And if they're you're dead for too long, like, I mean, I've watched enough shows on TV. I think it's like 3 hours for those transplants. I mean, they got to stuff them in a cooler and whatnot. So if he was dead overnight, what good are these organs going to do? I don't imagine they can just take them and stuff them into somebody else or get anything for them on the black market. Oh, maybe they're eating them. They're like cannibal.
Okay, I'll read this real quick. They stuffed him with newspaper like he was a garbage can inside his body. It's unbelievable. His parents had doubts about the way their son died. They want a court order to have Kendrick's body exhumed and had an independent second autopsy performed on the body. When a private pathologist opened the teen's remains, he discovered new grisly details. The parents had their son's body exhumed only to learn he suffered a blow to the neck, which they didn't know at first, and that all of his organs were missing. They said when he opened the body, it was stuffed full of newspaper. In standard autopsies, the organs are removed, examined, then returned to the body for burial. It's unclear what happened to Kendrick's organs after the first autopsy, and his parents have been devastated once again.
Maybe they misplaced him.
And then the funeral home that prepared his body for burial reportedly wrote a letter to Johnson's attorney that said the organs were destroyed through natural process and were discarded by the prosecutor. Mm-hmm.
What the hell?
Yep, and now the second dude is saying the teen died as a result of unexplained apparent non-accidental blunt force trauma. Federal prosecutors are reportedly deciding whether to open their own probe into the case, which has been closed since earlier this year. So this whole thing is just nuts. Basically, it started because the parents were saying their son, it wasn't an accident, you know, like something happened to him, because, I mean, what are the odds of this happening? And then they go to do a second autopsy, and now the second autopsy shows that he had blunt force trauma to the neck, where the first one did not, and now his organs are missing. Like, does it get any worse?
Man. That's rough. I mean, I can't imagine being a parent, you know, for one, outliving your child in the first place just isn't natural.
Right.
But then, you know, to have all this stuff come out after the fact, it's like you're just never getting any peace. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
No, it just doesn't stop. It does not stop.
Hopefully they get to the bottom of that. I mean, someone's head's going to roll for that, whether it's the first people that botched the first autopsy or, you know, the funeral home. Something ain't right.
Mm-mm. Nope. And you know what else ain't right? Chris Brown.
Oh, God. Yeah, Chris Brown. Back to jail again.
Okay, he just looks like a train wreck. But did you guys hear on, what was it, Sunday? He was arrested in Washington, D.C. for felony assault after allegedly attacking a man outside a hotel. They said he got into an argument with a man outside the W Hotel at 15th and Pennsylvania Avenue at 4:30 a.m. Brown reportedly began punching the man after the situation got heated. Official believes he was not under the influence of anything at the time of the altercation. So he's jailed. And this arrest could be very bad news for him, considering he's still on probation for the Rihanna beating. If he did violate his probation with this incident, worst case scenario, he could be sentenced to nearly 4 years in prison.
Well, yeah, but it's California. It's not going to happen.
No, he's in D.C.
Oh. Well, good. Yeah. Throw away the key. Or, you know, at least make him go to a year of anger management classes, because it's clear that this guy needs anger management help.
Well, he already took them because of
Rihanna.
Yeah, like that was the whole big issue. And then, oh, he learned his lesson from Rihanna. Like, obviously not, because this dude has had continued issues with the law and physical aggression since he beat Rihanna's ass. So here's the thing, like, now it happened again. Like, he hasn't learned at all. At all.
Mm-hmm. No.
So it's like, now, this time, are we going to do the right thing, or is it going to be the Hollywood thing where he gets away and gets a slap on the wrist and doesn't go to jail? Like, he needs to go to jail. Like, you keep breaking the law. Like, you're on probation. If anybody else did that, your ass would get locked up.
Listen, jail for these Hollywood types is nothing anyways. I mean, he's going to be like, what's his face? Snoop Dogg or whatever, did he go to jail and then came out and made a bunch of albums about it?
What?
My bad, Lil Wayne.
I have no idea. It was before the radio show, so I didn't pay attention.
Ooh.
It's just craziness to me that we can get away with it, you know? And the fact that she went back to him, like, all of it is just crazy. I'm like, I hate when people are like, what messages does it send to our kids? But I'm like, what message does it send to people across the board, period? Like, you can beat up whoever the hell you want and keep getting away with it.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Country is full of craziness.
Like, it's just disgusting. Disgusting. James, weren't you in a relationship that was violent? No?
No, my ex-boyfriend was.
He was violent?
My ex-boyfriend was in a relationship that was violent, and that's why it didn't work out with us, because he tried to show me what his alpha male status was, and I wasn't having it.
Do explain.
Okay. My ex, when him and I were together, he told me that his previous relationship, his ex-boyfriend, was physically and emotionally abusive towards him, and when him and I got together, instead of, you know, remembering what he went through, he decided to get his alpha male status back, I guess, by trying to be a dick to me, and I wasn't having that, which is why we're not together.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what about you, Mikey?
I don't take emotional abuse. I'm sorry. You can't look at me and tell me that I don't. Okay, granted, I did have a little bit of meat on my bones, but don't look at me and tell me that I don't have the body to be a model, and don't look at me and tell me that I don't have a body to do porn, because you don't want anyone else looking at me but you.
Wait. What?
Yeah, that just went on a whole other direction.
We were talking, having a conversation, and I told him, because when I was a teenager, I tried out for this runway thing at a local mall, and I told him that I didn't get it, and he was like, well, it's because you don't have the body to be a model.
Well,
and then later on in another conversation, I jokingly said that I thought about potentially trying to get into the porn industry, and he said, oh, you don't have a body for porn. You're too fat for that.
What a jerk.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So I didn't feel bad breaking up with him over the phone.
Okay.
No, I think that, Casey, you know, I think we can let that slide.
Uh-huh.
You know.
It is not okay to break up with somebody over the phone.
Well, no, I'm
well,
not
okay,
advocating
and then he tries,
it, but in that case, you know.
Right.
Clearly,
but
poor little
he also
defenseless
tried to,
James was fearful for his life.
James was not
okay,
fearful,
fearful
for
my
his life.
Life. I wasn't fearful for my life. I honestly, if I could have gotten over the fact that he was a dick, I would have stayed with him because the sex was really good. But I also wasn't down for him trying to tell me what I should wear, what I should and shouldn't wear when I go to work, who I should and shouldn't hang out with. You know, I wasn't really down for all that either.
Yeah, he sounds like a control freak.
He didn't like my roommate. And my roommate's
like
been my best friend since I was a teenager. So
that's not good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my roommate never said more than two words to him because she didn't like him.
See, now I think that actually is a great question. What do you do if you date somebody and your friends don't like them? Do you take your friend's word, or do you just go for the love?
I don't know. I mean,
I
think
my friend's word, but I take my friend's word, but I let my own opinion, I guess, carry through with it.
I think it's good
so,
to weigh everything.
That's the relationship I've been in.
You know, weigh out everything. You know, listen to your friends because obviously, you know, they've known you a lot longer than this new relationship that you're going to be potentially getting into. But at the same time, you know, you've got to trust your own gut instincts, you know. I mean,
right.
Give it a shot, but, I mean, don't dismiss your friends completely. And I would say that if it gets to a point where, you know, you've got to maybe choose one over the other, I mean, you've got to think real long and hard about that. There's been, you know,
right.
One in a million Hollywood movies made about that same sort of story. But, you know, I mean, I wouldn't say dismiss your friend's points completely.
Right. Well, and I'm also the kind of person, like, I have friends that they've dated people that I didn't like, but it wasn't my place to tell them that you shouldn't date this person, you shouldn't be with this person. Because I don't know how other than what my friends tell me, I don't know how they treat them. So if I'm not around them, I don't know what's going on in their lives,
right.
How their relationship actually is. So it's up to you to decide who you or if you want to continue on in that relationship. I mean, I'll put my two cents out there, but also that person, whether I like that person that they're dating or not, it's not going to stop me from seeing my friend and spending time with my friend. You know, I can be
right.
Civil. I can be, you know, so, I mean, my friends were there before you, and they're going to be after. They're going to be there after you, so.
I mean, I'm sure we all have crazy horror stories about dating, and then speaking about dating and horror stories, have you or someone you know tried online dating? Have you or someone you know had a terrible experience? Met someone in person who lied about their online profile? We want to hear about it. You could be a guest. Please log on to myuncensoredradio.com and share your stories with us. You may be the next person we interview right here on the show.
Do it.
I just don't even know what to say to that.
You must be 18 or older.
Mm-mm.
Unless you're on MTV 16 and pregnant. Then we'll let it slide.
Well, yeah, then that's different. That's different. The legal department made me throw that last bit in there.
The legal department that is Mike J.
Yeah, well, pretty much. I got people. I got advisors. Shoot.
Mm-mm.
Sounds good.
You know, and speaking of crazy stories, I would love to get this next woman on the show because I have a few questions to ask her. Have you guys heard about the Colombian woman who is accused of prostituting her daughters to make ends meet? Yes, that's correct. A mother of a 14-year-old in Colombia tried to make ends meet by pushing her daughters into prostitution by selling their virginity for a couple of $100. Margarita de Jesus Zapata Moreno, 45, was arrested.
Wait, can you please do that?
Margarita de Jesus, not de Jesus, it's de Jesus.
You guys know I'm not good with names.
Oh my God, wait. Did you spit it out so fast? It really sounded like you did. Like, I didn't even catch that you said it wrong. He did. But it sounded like you had it.
Margarita de Jesus Zapata Moreno, 45, was arrested because we were together. Oh, I'm never going to get through this. Anyway, she was arrested.
No, is that shit funny, Fresh?
A 51-year-old contractor who police also believe impregnated one of the younger daughters. I mean, I guess what they're going through in Colombia to make ends meet, but seriously, selling your own daughter's virginity for, this is going to sound like a lot. It says she charged anywhere between $300,000 and 400,000 Colombian pesos, which apparently is $160 U.S.
Oh, my God.
I should not be laughing.
There was a girl, but wasn't there a girl who auctioned off her virginity and, like, was able to pay for college after she did that in the States?
Yeah. Well,
I mean, you can make
Colombia.
A lot more money. You can make a lot more money for that. I mean, come on now.
Well, 300,000 pesos in Colombia could be a lot. I have no idea what. Well, apparently 300,000 pesos can buy you somebody's virginity in Colombia. Just saying if you're interested. But
wow.
I mean,
you might go, I could see you totally buying somebody.
Well, not one of these little 14-year-old girls. I mean, maybe an 18-year-old legal boy. But,
oh, jeez.
$160 U.S.? I could swing that.
Well, there was that chick that auctioned off her virginity for like 700 or 800,000. And I was what?
That begs another question. How do you prove you're still a virgin? I mean, I guess technically if you're a girl, you still could, because they got that special Saran wrap covering. but... I was trying not to get too graphic, but I don't know that helped. But how do you prove that? I mean, do you just wait till the guy comes over? I mean, and he's going to notice, I guess? I don't know about the inner workings.
No, there are tests that can be done to prove virginity on a girl.
I mean, you're talking about like a rape kit, right?
I guess. I don't know. I've never been to the... I've never had taken one of my friends to be like, hey, we're gonna test you to see if you're still a virgin. You know, I don't know.
I guess you got to be careful about what you're poking up there to test if he's a virgin, because you might accidentally de-virginize her in the process.
Right. Well, what's funny is my friend Caitlin, I'm going to totally sell her out for this. When she was 16, she was sexually active with her boyfriend, who she thought she was going to marry, and they were going to be, all happy and shit. And she had to go. She went to her gyno, and when she went, her mom was with her, and her gynecologist asked her if she was sexually active and could plainly, I mean, looking up there and could tell that she was. And Caitlin had to lie to her so that her mom wouldn't find out that she was sexually active. And I guess she got, like, the dirtiest look from her gynecologist when she said, no, I'm still a virgin.
Oh, you know what that reminds me of? Meddling mothers. Does your mother insist on maintaining complete control over your life? Does she tell you who you can or cannot date? Does she think you married the wrong person or have the wrong job?
Oh, here we go.
Does she attempt to control you through financial manipulation, guilt, or some other method? If you're tired of your mother's overbearing ways, tell us your story. Log on to myuncensoredradio.com. And fill out the form. Just look for the Be Our Guest link. He must be 18 or older.
I actually know somebody that would be perfect for that.
Well, good. Tell him to fill out the form.
I will. I'm going to call her. As soon as we're done with the show tonight, I'm going to call her.
You're such an asshole.
Like, oh, my God.
Oh, fresh.
Hey, whatever works, right?
Whatever works, exactly. They say talk radio is dead. We're bringing it back.
Maybe.
Or do you need a paternity test? We could try and hopefully get that arranged for you. This isn't Maury, but we'll try.
Well, listen, I ain't paying for nobody's paternity test. That shit's expensive.
Yeah, because the only one that would be paying for it is Mike J, because I'm not paying for it.
Sorry. No, none of that. Listen,
James,
listen,
you just got a new job. You can pay for it.
Look, I'm not above arranging something. I mean, look, we'll pay, you know,
right.
you know, a dollar or something
to
sleep
with
a girl,
with
and
Michael,
then we'll
pay for
the paternity test.
Or did you have a baby and you need to tell somebody that they're the father? Do
or
it on our
the
show.
Father.
Right.
That's true. That is true.
That is amazing.
We're going to have to pre-record all these things just so we can have them to play, you know, randomly throughout the show.
Okay, I have a really technical question. So I think for my birthday, Mike gave me, because, you know, he's a big spender, did you give me a $10 iTunes gift card?
Sure did.
Like, thanks, big spender. I've been meaning to say that to you. But how do you use it, and what happens? Like, it said I download it, and then it's just, what do I do? I don't even know how to use it. Is it still there? Did I lose it?
I don't know. I bought it through Facebook, so I'm really not sure how that works.
I can walk you through it, because on my birthday, Topher bought me a $10 iTunes gift card for my birthday.
Aww.
That bitch didn't buy me nothing.
See, you should be grateful.
I was surprised that he got
me
anything. I was surprised that he got me a $10 iTunes gift card. Like, really?
Mm-mm.
That was kind of
well,
a surprise when I saw that notification.
Because I just went to, you know, buy a book, Tori Spelling's new book, because apparently she is having some money troubles. And, you know, I figured I'd support her. And it was $10.99, and I thought I could use your thing, and it was no. It just charged my checking account $10.99. So, Tori, just know that crazy house you have in San Fernando Valley. Helping you pay the mortgage, baby.
Well, I'm guessing that probably somehow you've got to get, like, the code or something. I mean, there's got to be, like, a code that you then put into iTunes. Because probably after you get it from Facebook, you have to go into iTunes and then redeem it somehow.
I'll tell you how to do it.
Okay.
Fine. Next year I'm just going to mail you the little plastic card.
Please do. I've never gotten one before. It'd be exciting. Well, if it works, I'm happy. Like, I was like, oh, I've never had an iTunes gift card before. And now I'm like, I don't want to use it, though, because I don't want to waste it. I want to save it for something good. But, you know, so.
Yeah. It's going to be like 10 years later, you're going to forget you even had it.
Well, right. Well, that's exactly what just happened to me, because I was going through my buffet. I'm trying to organize my house. Since Joe's got the broke ankle and, like, we're stuck home, I've been, like, going into my nesting phase where I'm, like, cleaning shit out and, like, trying to actually organize the house for the first time since we moved here. And I found a $25 gift card to the Olive Garden. I don't know who gave it to me or where it came from. Like, I got nothing.
Ooh.
And I'm like, did I buy this for somebody and didn't give it to them? Because it was in, like, a little tin.
I think you meant to take me for unlimited breadsticks and salad.
Bitch, drive your ass home. We won't tell Joey.
Well, even if he does know, trust me, you and I are going to make it to the car a hell of a lot quicker than he's going to, so.
Yes, we will. It is pretty horrible. I feel so bad for him.
I can't imagine. That is, does he have the little bell? That's my biggest question. Does he have a little bell
no.
that can ring? Well, that's sad. You should get him one.
He doesn't need a bell because we have phones, and he just calls my phone every 10 minutes, and it's like, I need this, I need that. No, I'm just kidding.
Mm-hmm. You're just kidding, but that actually is how that happens in my house.
Wait, what?
That's actually how shit happens in my house. I get phone calls saying, hey, can you come downstairs for a minute? Hey, can you get me something from the kitchen? Hey, can you do this? Hey, can you do that? Hey, are you busy?
Dear.
I really want to move. I really want to move so bad.
Michael is looking for a sex partner. Maybe you could give him a little mookie for free room and board.
Trust me, there's nothing to do in Rhode Island.
Well, no, the whole point is that he'd be doing you.
Not from 8 to 5, I gotta work.
I love that he doesn't say no, he just says, I can't do it from 8 to 5.
Right.
Oh, gotta love the fresh. Got to love the fresh. Okay, so we just have a few minutes left. Well, like 15. So, has anybody, like, got hooked on any new shows this season? Like, I'm obsessed now because you can get this little app for your iPad and you can watch, like, ABC stuff on your iPad without having cable. So I'm, like, really trying to get rid of it now. So I've actually got to experience more shows because when I'm cooking, I just put the iPad on the counter, you know, whereas before I wouldn't have time. Now I'm, like, squeezing
right.
it in. It's great. So I found, like, that Trophy Wife show is so funny. Like, I actually really like it. But it seems like anything I've read, none of the new shows are doing well at all. Like, nothing is. I don't think anything is, like, safe at all. So what do you think? Do you think there's less people watching TV, just more channels? Are the shows not as good? Is there anything new that you guys have been hooked on?
Well, you know, I think that with so many different ways to watch and so many different choices out there that it is very hard to, you know, break through the market if you're a brand new show. I mean, I love all the apps and gadgets and whatnot that are out there. I love the fact that, you know, I'm not tied to a specific schedule because it's one of the things, you know, back when I was on the show full time, you know, 5 nights a week, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern, you know, I was missing, so I could never get involved
right.
in anything because I refused to pay for DVR. I won't do it. But, you know, I got to say, some of the shows that I'm watching this season and I started watching last season, you know, I've got my Revolution. That's good. ABC's Nashville. I love that show. I was not afraid to admit that I love country music, and I recently renewed my SiriusXM subscription just so I could listen to The Highway.
I just don't even know what to say to that, but go ahead.
And another show that I got into, I think that, you know, you and Joey would like this one. It's called Haven. The first 3 seasons are on Netflix. You can watch the latest season on Sci-Fi, or you can actually, what I'm doing since I don't actually have Sci-Fi is I bought the season pass through iTunes. So when the next, you know, the show is available, it just downloads right into my little iPad. Actually, based on Stephen King's The Colorado Kid. Really good stuff.
Oh, I think I remember you telling me about that. Now, see, like, I find this fascinating. Now you can buy episodes. You can go on iTunes or Amazon Prime, and you're paying to watch an episode. Like, when we went to Florida, I paid $1.99 to watch an episode. I'm like, so there's all these other ways that the networks can make money, and all of these other ways now that people are watching. Like, are they even counting this stuff in the ratings?
Well,
I don't
really
think they really are.
No. It's really hard for them to track that stuff because, like you said, you've got you know,
how hard is it to track people downloading episodes?
or HBO and all them, like, they know, okay, like, they always would put out, like, let's say 5 million people watched True Blood live, the first airing. The second airing, 4 million people watched it. And then on the on-demand option they have, you know, it was watched another 5 million times. So they know.
Right. I don't know with the major networks if it's more difficult, because you got to figure, like, ABC stuff. Sure, it airs on ABC, but then you've got the webcast for it through either Hulu or the ABC player. You've got past seasons available on Netflix, or you can buy it through iTunes. I don't know that the way traditional advertising is set up with the networks is that the advertisers want to know who's watching.
I don't think
it'd
be hard, though. But I don't think it'd be hard to get, like, a weekly reporting from, you know, all the different, like, from Netflix and from iTunes and from all the different avenues that you can watch the content on. I mean, because they have a record of all the companies that they've released their content to and where people can watch it elsewhere. So I don't think that, I mean, I'm sure that they're getting something that says, you know, so many people watched these episodes on iTunes and somebody watched these on YouTube.
Well, it seems crazy to me because they're all about, like, the 18 to 25 or 18 to 35 or whatever. And if you're over 49, forget it. Nobody cares about you, which I find interesting because I don't know about you guys, but if somebody I know watches something and they see a commercial, it's like, oh, you got to try this or check it out. Like, it doesn't matter how old they are. So it's like,
right,
you're okay. Maybe the show between on air and whatever. Because, you know, remember back in the day where, like, 10 years ago, shows got, like, over 20 million viewers. And if a show had, like, 10 million viewers, they were considered, like, a bomb. It flopped, and they'd cancel it. Now, if a show gets 10 million viewers in total, they're lucky. So it's kind of crazy.
Right.
But it's like, you know, if you have another extra 10 million people watching a show through all these other media tools, and, like, I mean, I can't remember if you have to buy it through iTunes. Is there commercials?
No. If you watch through iTunes or even with Amazon, if you're paying for the episode, there are not commercials.
Okay, because I know, like, when I watched it with the ABC app, there was, like, commercials all through it, but it wasn't as much as on TV. And most of the commercials were, like, ads for ABC shows and some other ones, because now I watch my soap opera on it like that, because it's just more convenient. While I'm making lunch for the kids or whatever, I can just click it on and, you know, listen to it or whatever and catch it real quick.
Right.
So
when you're talking about ratings and stuff, like, think about the smaller networks like the CW and ABC Family and all those other networks that barely average a million viewers per episode, and they're classifying that as being a success.
Right. Well, it's just kind of funny.
You know, four seasons.
Well, I think it's, though, because they're all subsidiary networks. Like, it's not an actual network on its own. Like, it's ABC Family, so it's a part of ABC. So I think people are, you know, people are just doing multiple jobs, and actors are being paid less, which should not be such a big deal to me anymore.
Right.
Because even if you're making $30,000 an episode and there's 22 episodes, you know, that's a nice chunk of change.
Yeah, you're still doing better than the average American.
And then you still can get commercials and endorsements and all other kinds of things, you know? But it's just fascinating to me. And, like, the Nielsen ratings themselves, to me, just seem outdated. Like, it doesn't even – it's only, like, an average thing. Like, it's not even everybody in America. Because
I don't know
anybody that has a Nielsen box. Do you?
No, as I was going to say, I remember a long, long time ago, you know, they do the boxes. And then at one point, I swear, the Nielsen place sent an envelope to our house with, like, a paper ballot. And there was $5 in the envelope per person?
This just happened to us last year, and I feel so bad because I took their money and never did it. And I really wanted to. You get a ballot per TV in the house that has cable. So, like, we had 6 TVs with cable. So they sent us 6 things, and, like, it must have been $5 because we got $30.
Yeah.
So we got $30, and then, like, but it's kind of extensive because you have to put, you know, each TV all day long, blah, 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 the ages of everybody. You know, so it's kind of a pain in the ass to do. And I'm like, everybody mostly has a cable box or a digital box. Like, your government listens to our phone conversations. You're telling me you can't put a chip in there to find out what we're watching?
Oh, God, don't give anyone the idea.
Well, like, come on. I mean, because I feel like it's bullshit, because some of our favorite shows are being canceled because, you know, the ratings
are... ratings.
Yeah, like, they don't know. And, like, you have to keep track of the things you watch for, like, a month. Like, it was a lot. I'm like, I don't have time to fill out six of these, but I sure did keep their $30 because they cashed. They didn't even send a check.
I know, that's the crazy part. Like, I remember about it. Like, you open an envelope and there's just, like, six $5 bills in there or whatever. And you're like, what the hell?
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I mean,
like,
it's neat,
how
you know,
did they know how many TVs you had in your house?
Well, I got a phone call prior to, and they asked if we would do this. And I was like, yeah, I'd love to, you know, because some of my favorite shows, I'm like, I totally want to hook them up. Or even shows that I like that I don't get to watch, I want to hook them up, you know. Every remote counts. I got six TVs. There's six people here watching TV all day long. So they asked, and they said, how many TVs? So I don't know how they just sent it to yours, Mike.
I don't know. Maybe they called us ahead of time or something. I really don't remember. I mean, there was only, like, I think $15 in there. So they must have called because I think we only had three TVs, the living room, the kitchen, and then my bedroom. But, I mean, I remember that paper ballot thing. I was like, what the hell? This is, like, watch it for a month. And I'm like, well, I'm at school during the day. I don't watch, you know, when I'm home. I VCR'd this was so long ago. It was when I would videotape the Ricky Lake show so that I could, you know, like, well, does that count?
Well, I would have just lied and put it down there because I want to give my shows the ratings.
Right.
Right.
Which, and I was an idiot because I used to think that as long as the TV was on, that the ratings counted. So, like, if I had a favorite show, like, I would just turn all the TVs on in the house to that show. Yeah, right. Like, I didn't know, so I'd have it on, like, because I thought it counted because we had a cable box.
I just remember when having a TV in your room or getting a TV in your room was a big deal.
Right?
Yeah, and now it's like the norm. Everywhere you go, everyone's got, there's a TV in this room, in this room, in this room.
Yeah.
There's one in the office, there's one in the kids' room.
Even when we were kids, like, you had one TV, maybe two, one in the kitchen, and that was kind of it.
Yep.
And then if you had one in your bedroom, it was usually the kids, the parents didn't, and you were lucky to have one.
Yeah, it was like a little 13-inch, you know, and you were lucky if it was color.
Yep.
I mean, I don't even think, like,
yep.
are TVs even, you know, really a thing anymore? I mean, if I had the choice now and someone asked me, oh, would you rather I buy you a TV for your bedroom or an iPad? I would say the iPad.
I picked the iPad. Well, and that's kind of where I'm at now is I'm realizing I'm not really watching the TV at all now because I can literally access all of my shows between Hulu, Netflix, and the apps and the network. And then, you know, Verizon also, a lot of cable companies now, if you have like an iPhone or iPad or the tablets or whatever, you can actually download an app that will let you watch live TV from your tablet. And I realized I don't care if the TV's 50 inches or not. Like, I'll watch it because it's convenient to me. I can lay in bed, watch it. Or,
oh, yeah, what's 50
you know,
inches if you've got the little, you know, I don't know, what is it, a 9.5-inch screen right in front of you?
Right,
your
well,
face,
I watched
you know.
I used my phone forever, and every night I'd watch Sex and the City through the HBO app because you can get HBO Showtime, all those paid channels, you can get apps through them on the go. So I watched all this stuff on my iPhone for, like, the last year, and it's just recently that I've got into using the iPad to watch TV, and I realized I don't turn the TV on at all during the day anymore.
No, my TV is barely ever on unless I'm watching, like, the local news or I just need some background noise and I'm on my laptop. But I watch everything on my laptop, and then, you know, as soon as I got my iPad, you know, over the summer, and that's all I use now. I can't watch movies on my laptop anymore because it's weird to me. They have to be on my iPad.
Yeah, it's too inconvenient. Like, the iPad, you can just sit there. And even, like, books, like, I was one forever. Like, little Shannon gave me an e-reader, and I hated the thing. Mm-hmm. I hated it. It didn't have a light because it was one of the old-school ones. It was black and white. I mean, it was just a couple years ago. So, I mean, it wasn't even that old. Like, it was new at the time, but it didn't have a backlight. So, you know, you still had to have a light on. And I missed paper books, but now I find myself, instead of going to the library, I'm buying books, which is crazy to me.
Love a good digital book. Love a
That's
book.
That's right. Good night, everybody.
My eardrums.
Now that I don't have an eardrum.
Jeez. What the hell?
Because it went.
Good night, everybody.
It's in recording now.
Good night. Okay. Thanks, everyone.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.